You can listen to The Professional Left on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, or at our website, proleftpod.com, where you can also contribute to this podcast. There's a PayPal button at our website, or you can mail us a letter and or contribution at P.O. Box 9133, Springfield, Illinois, 62791.
This is the podcast for February 9th, 2018. It's not safe for work.
Coming to you live from the set of Talking Crooked. That's our new show on Crackle, where we talk about what just happened on HBO's new Crooked Media podcast show. It's The Professional Left with Drift Glass and Blue Gal.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
They've hit the big time, haven't they?
Yeah, well, you know, you HBO.
There's the big time, and then there's us. We are the, what did we say, artisanal podcast for lefties?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we're the hand-curated heritage podcast.
We're also the place where everyone knows your name. So yeah. I was looking over our podcast correspondence and realizing there's so many people there who I feel a personal connection to. So, you know, and I hope you guys feel a personal connection to us. And that's the advantage of being, you know, small and artisanal and vintage and all kinds of things.
Yes.
I'm not feeling any jealousy toward Crooked Media because we've been doing this since 2010.
Right.
And we'll
long
be doing
time.
It for as long as we can,
well,
I think.
We've been having this conversation even longer.
Yeah, right.
You and I.
Actually, 10 years face-to-face, and before that, on Skype chat rooms and so forth, we knew each other for about 3 years online, sort of as friends.
Well, and Blue Gal used to run salons, back when salons
Monday
were,
nights.
You know, the thing.
Monday nights.
Yeah.
On Skype, we did a chat room. So that was fun. And, you know, some things come and go, but I like talking to you, Drift Glass. And we met face-to-face, I believe, and this is terrible that I don't have it carved in my diary, in the front of my diary, the exact day. But it was Valentine's Day weekend, the 15th or 16th.
Guess what?
I think it was the 16th of February. We met at a Shakespeare sister meetup. At an Irish bar
in Evanston, Illinois.
And I came up from Birmingham, Alabama to meet with Melissa, Shakespeare's sister. And she arranged to invite many other people to come, people from her blog who were fans of her blog from the Chicagoland area, including somebody named Drift Glass. And you walked in and you were tall and wearing a beautiful coat and looking nice. You look nice.
Well, I clean up good.
And you sat next to me, and you didn't stop sitting next to me for the whole night.
No, I'm still sitting next to you.
You're still sitting next to me 10 years later. So, I think there was an interest there. I'm just saying. Although I was going through a divorce. It was a hard time for me.
We had a meeting of the minds before we ever met.
We did. We really did.
And, it's a good. I highly recommend that for you people out there.
Looking for somebody.
It's not a reproducible experiment very easily.
No, it's hard to do, but
and so we're not jealous that they're on TV because you know why, Blue Gal, you know why?
Because you don't show up on TV cameras.
No, because it's not TV.
It's HBO.
So yes, we will be having our own show again on Crackle, in which we will talk about their show.
Yeah,
This is the one show that Chris Hardwick will not be doing.
He will not get to do Talking Crooked. Yes, we'll have
many guests, comedians, artists, people who do the special effects for the Crooked Media show will be on to talk about the blood packs and how they do the faces
behind
and make
the
them
scenes.
All, how they make them look so white and the same age and male. It's amazing the amount of camera work that they do. And along with that, we'd like to welcome a wonderful new sponsor that our friend Batocchio steered in our direction.
Okay.
It's Imagine If You Will Socks. Imagine If You Will Socks was started by a couple of college kids who noticed one day that socks suck. They're hard to put on. They cost too much. And if you don't wash them for weeks on end, they begin to reek and move around on their own. Then they saw a picture of Rod Serling wearing socks and said, hey, we're rich. Let's buy a sock factory. And they did. Now they're billionaires.
Thank you, Batocchio. What a good idea.
Yes.
Rod Serling wearing socks inspired these rich white boys to own a sock factory, right?
Imagine If You Will Socks. Imagine if you will socks. You know, you should really wear those instead of Crocs. I think there's too much rhyming going on.
There you go. Now, Imagine if you will socks. Okay.
The irony of this entire thing. There's a meta media narrative embedded deeply in here, a science fiction narrative too, that's Rod Serling.
Wow.
That Rod Serling was furious with advertisers.
Mm-hmm.
For interrupting the narrative flow of his dramas, because he was doing, you know, he was doing early live television, straight drama stuff that was that were winning all kinds of awards. And then he went on to do the Twilight Zone. He was furious that in the middle of some dramatic scene, you'd have two bunnies selling toilet paper.
Right.
Because it wrecked everything. Well, now you just you don't even notice it. And he got in a lot of trouble for violating his sort of professional ethics, his very high standards of separating his dramatic self from his commercial self by going on and doing commercials.
Oh, my goodness.
For beer and for socks and for other stuff.
Well, and this was before you could just go over to Japan or East Germany at the time, you know, and make commercials over in some foreign country where your audience in the United States wouldn't know you were making commercials, right?
This is before Bob Seger sold his songs to sell trucks and so on.
Right.
Now it's so deeply, I mean, name me a podcast out there anywhere that isn't directly and routinely interrupted by sponsored messages.
Ours.
Well, there's the one. Our artisanal heritage, old school Rod Serling style podcast.
See?
But it's I mean, and honestly, because, you know, we do ours by donation, by voluntary donation.
Yes, we do.
And,
we do.
But
there is
no other model for sort of keeping your body and soul together other than taking ads or having us having a busking patron.
What we call busking, you know, begging for $5 contributions is how we stay afloat. Yeah.
And so this is, you know, you either have a patron, you have a pope.
Mm-hmm.
Who will pay you a shitload of money to paint the Sistine Chapel, and then you go up and do whatever you want to or you do it some other way. But that's the world we live in. Also,
well, we want to thank Where the Good Lord Split Ya Emergency Party Planners for underwriting the entire cost of Talking Crooked on Crackle.
Our new show, yeah.
Our new show.
It's, they're doing really good business.
Where the Good Lord Split Ya
Emergency Party Planning, Party Planners is just blowing up all over Washington. There's so many people being fired and being walked out the door.
Even wife beaters being fired.
Indeed.
That's how bad it's gotten over Trump White House. They actually had to let a wife beater go.
And we hear rumors through the medium we call the news that there are literally dozens and dozens of other people in the White House who also have no permanent security clearance.
Yes, right.
Because the FBI, and we don't know why. I assume because they're of the same caliber of character as Donald Trump's other wife-beating, crooked Nazi friends.
Yeah.
And the FBI said, oh, fuck no, we're not giving these people the keys to the kingdom. Are you out of your mind? Because they still get to do that. And then Trump says, well, then I'm giving them a temporary pass because fuck you.
Seriously.
You know, again, Jeff Gannon was just ahead of the curve. That's his problem. He was just ahead of the curve. Male prostitute journalist invited into the Bush White House.
Yep.
Nobody would bat an eye in this environment.
Nope.
And in fact, nobody batted an eye during the Bush administration, which leads us.
I want to just add one thing about that. I know we're going to start this week with News Roundup because we think that might be a better way to do things. As I've looked back on our shows, it seems easier for us to do it that way.
Yeah.
But I noticed two things. One is that in the news this week, Donald Trump doesn't actually read his, you know, classified presidential briefing.
He relies
on other people to tell him what's in it. And the other thing is that apparently Donald Trump asked General Mattis for a plan on Iran, like going to war with Iran.
Sure.
And Mattis just ignored it.
Yeah.
Because on to the next thing, and Trump isn't going to remember, and nothing matters. And so I'm just not going to do anything about that. And it's only because this stupid parade thing came out because Trump really wanted it enough to say so out loud in front of reporters that's even a thing. So, you know, Military Times, which is a in-house publication for people in the military.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Military Times.
I thought that was the porn magazine that Jeff Gannon advertised in back in the day.
Well, might be, but
I was wrong. I guess I stand corrected.
I don't know, but Military Times is actually a thing. They polled their readers, and 89% said no military parade for Donald Trump. So, you know, that's not controversial when 89% say no. Hold on a minute. I need to take out an earring because it's dangling and making noise. There we go. All right.
You know what you need? Those $6 earring...
earring removers.
Levers.
That are $19.99 for four earring backings. Yes. Okay.
You know what? I'm sensing a future sponsor of the professional.
You just go with that. All right. So the fact that there's like controversy, and again, that's that there's that word that doesn't mean what they say it means. Controversial is supposed to mean that people disagree about something. It's something that is just offensive across the board to all normal thinking people isn't controversial.
Right.
So
you don't know what that word means.
The cartoon engine, and I say that in the way that I intend it, mascot of the Cleveland Indians, isn't controversial. It's racist. That's the word you're looking for, is the racist.
Word, the word you're looking for in most cases is racist, misogynist, racist, homophobic, what have you. Bigoted, generally bigoted.
And not controversial. So, but this issue of classification within the Oval Office, it just seems like it's utterly meaningless. I can't imagine that anyone working for the CIA is giving Trump anything that's actually sensitive.
Well, you remember when they ignored the order about transgender troops.
Right, right.
Now, we'll study that. We'll check into it. No, really do it. No, we'll check it out. We'll let you know.
We got to study that. Three years later, we're not, you know, he'll be on to the next thing.
And I got to say, all of Trump's psycho, you know, bullshit moves exactly parallel the email I get from my crazy Uncle Liberty.
Well, because he's watching Fox and Friends, too. So
these are people who are completely freaked out by a lot of transgender, you know, I serve my country. I didn't cut my dick off and expect the U.S. to pay for it. You know, that's the level of humor at which these people's monkey brains operate. And so they're completely freaked out by transgender anything, which is awesome. Because the first shock troops of the resistance should definitely be drag queens and people who are transgender.
Oh, yeah.
Because it will scare the shit out of them because they don't know what to do. You know, it just and that will lead us into our news roundup. But it's this whining, you know, petulant white grievance. You know, well, you didn't give me any choice because Hillary. And now everything is about Obama did this and Obama did that and Hillary. And you're calling Trump a traitor. What about Uranium One?
They really believe that. Yes.
You're a year to your dream presidency, man. You're a year into having the biggest, loudest, dumbest, racist, con man asshole of your dreams and control over both houses of Congress. And what are you doing? You're sitting in front of your computer complaining about Hillary and Obama because that's literally all you know how to do. You know, as a thought experiment, all I ask people to do is think, what would the country be like with 40 million fewer Republicans?
Hey, let's talk about Nazis in our home state now.
Let's talk about Nazis, shall we?
Do a news roundup. And there were so many things going on in Illinois this week that made the national news in terms of Illinois politics. And part of that is we have a governor running. We don't have any senators running for re-election, but we have a governor running, and we have lots of House races that are interesting, and some really weird Republicans running in this state. And
yes,
let's,
we do.
Let's start with Illinois 3 and the congressional race up in Illinois 3. A couple people tweet me about some of these things, and you have to realize we're in Illinois 13. If you want to look at a district map, that is south central Illinois.
Yes.
Illinois 3 is up in Chicagoland area, which is upstate. We're not there. We're way down. So
we're the middle of middle America, literally the middle of middle America.
We are. Yeah. We're 70 miles from Peoria. Right.
Yeah. And we're 100 miles from St. Louis.
Right. So, but there is a Nazi running in the Republican primary.
And he's going to win.
Because he's running unopposed.
He's running unopposed. Nazi runs unopposed in not since the glory days of, now I'm going to forget his name. I'll get back to it. Yeah. Have Illinois politics been this kind of hilariously fucked up?
Yep.
And here's the thing. I did a post on this guy because Illinois Nazis, you know, this is my
Arthur
wheelhouse.
Arthur Jones is his name.
Yep.
And he's a 70-year-old retired insurance salesman, former member of the American Nazi Party, apparently. Yeah. White supremacist, Holocaust denier, you name it.
There's a, but his rhetoric on television is, as I pointed out, he's the perfect no labels candidate. Other than the whole Nazi thing, he's the perfect no labels candidate. He's a disruptor who's sick of the corrupt duopoly. He's only running as a Republican because that was the open slot. But in his heart, he's truly an independent who believes both sides of our two-party system are equally awful and corrupt. Now, here's how he puts that, though. He puts it as our accursed two-party, Jew party, queer party system. But as the chief political analyst for ABC News once told me personally.
Matthew Dowd,
Pointing out that this guy was actually a prominent member and leader in the American Nazi Party. But then again, Joe Scarborough was a prominent member of the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And now Joe Scarborough is an independent. We're supposed to pretend that he's never Republican. And when I pointed out the fact that long ago to Matthew Dowd, the ABC News chief political analyst, that, you know, didn't you notice that GOP was doing this shit when Jerry Falwell was doing it and Rush Limbaugh and Lee Atwater? His response was, why don't you accept people for where they are in the present?
So I
feel obliged now to accept my local Nazi for what he is right now, at this exact literal moment in time. What he did 10 minutes ago, you know, that's really being judgmental there, Drift Glass. You really shouldn't do that. So
So he's the perfect no labels,
yes,
middle centrist, Unite America candidate.
Yes.
Now, I say Unite America. I'm talking about a real thing. This is something that was on the Michael Smirkanish show this week, where he highlighted and brought on the executive director. It used to be called the Centrist Project, but now they're going to run candidates under some massive independent flag.
Well, it wasn't mealy mouth enough. So.
No, right. They didn't want to be the mushy middle. They want to be independent and again, the whole thing is get over the corrupt duopoly, get over this two-party corrupt system.
Crazy.
But here's the deal, Drift Glass. And I want to be clear about this. I am not making this up. I am reading this from centristproject.org, okay?
Sure.
First of all, they're running candidates who are all former lawyers, former or current businessmen, philanthropers, millionaires, and all white. And wealthy. And there's like four or five races where they're running these vanity candidates, rich vanity candidates who want to talk about, and literally it's up to country over party. What party are they talking about?
Right. Any party.
No, not any party.
No.
Now, Drift Glass, I'm going to read to you. I'm not making this up.
Go for it.
Centristproject.org. I want you to find the razor in the apple. Okay. Okay. Unite America is a rejection of the zero-sum politics that pits red against blue.
I'd like to stop right there. I'd like to put a dollar down on purple.
Okay, just a minute. It gets better. Okay. It gets better for Unite America.
Okay.
And instead offers an invitation to join Team Red, White, and Blue.
Yeah, very, very white. Wait a minute.
This is so bad. Our logo boldly introduces, quote, Unity White, unquote, back into the color palette of our politics as the third force that can bring us together.
Make America white again.
Unity White, and then they give American Red and Patriot Blue and Unity White, and they give you the hex number and the CMYK number. So that you can go and put these on your website and have them be accurate. Unity White is going to be back in the color palette of our politics.
I think Tidy Whitey is now the new Pantone designation for that.
Did you find the razor in the apple there, Drift Glass?
Oh, honey, it's all razors. It's all fucking razors.
All the way down.
Secondly, I think really, if you have your Pepe Frog, that white will make it really pop as it comes off the screen. Because then it screams, yeah, hell yeah.
But this is exactly what No Labels was, right? This is rich white people who don't want to be tarnished because they can't go to their white classy golf club and talk about being a Trump Republican, because that has, there's no class. That's, this is Jeb Bush Republicans looking for a place to land.
Yes, it is. And it has always been this. It has always been this. Yep. There is really no war in terms of their outcomes. It is, look, we built a, basically a party out of garbage, out of dog shit and madness and dynamite and racists and the scum of the earth. We piled it all into a big heap and it generated a lot of heat. And that heat put us into office and got us our tax cuts. But we really, really don't want those people coming into our fucking neighborhood.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And they never realized that.
Unless
that
they're going to mow our grass or change grandma's adult diaper in the nursing home. That's what they want.
No. I'm, you misunderstand. They don't want the base of their party.
Oh, they don't want the Nazis to come into their neighborhood.
They'll take their vote. Right. They'll take their vote all day long.
They'll take their vote all day long. Yeah.
What they never realized is that Jeb Bush is the fringe.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
The racists, the trans haters, the scumbags, that's the party.
That's the base of the party.
That's the fucking
party. That is the primary voter. Absolutely.
And those people hired David Brooks and Michael Gerson to make them look respectable. Yeah. Now, it was a transactional relationship. You will make us look respectable and we will give you votes and money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we could have stopped this back when it was Newt Gingrich and Rush Limbaugh, but we didn't.
Right.
We could have stopped it back when it was Lee Atwater, but we didn't. We like that. We love that shit. That was winning the fucking elections. Now those people run everything. So now we have to pretend that they are not us. They had nothing to do with us. And we have the money to buy respectability by setting up our own stupid little organizations. And there'll always be plenty of people. There'll always be an infinite supply of Matthew Dowds and David Brooks who, for money, let's be very clear about this, for money will sit and nod their head and say both sides. And for money, someone will point a camera at them and call them an organization. And for money, someone will give them a show on MSNBC. And that's literally all they have. So that's what they're doing. And it's obvious. It's been obvious to us on the left for a long-ass time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? Here's what happens. Eventually, you get a Jeannie Ives running for governor in Illinois. Bless her heart. We're back to the news roundup, if you don't mind.
No, that's fine.
Jeannie Ives is running for governor. I'll let you guess which party, Blue Guy.
Guess which party, everybody.
The Republican primary, Illinois. She's run an ad. Her ad features the following things. I'll let you guess that Bruce Reiner's giving Rahm, that's the mayor of the city of Chicago, everything he asked for.
And it's an African-American woman with a union T-shirt.
Right.
Then there's a young
Chicago
woman.
Bailing out Chicago schools. Out the failing Chicago schools.
Chicago schools.
Yes. Then there's a young woman in
a
pussy hat.
With a pussy hat. Yeah.
Trying a pussy hat. I believe talking about abortion, but I'm not sure.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Bruce Reiner, for letting the taxpayer pay for my abortions. Abortions, plural. Yeah.
Then there's a kid in an Antifa hoodie and bandana thanking because sanctuary cities.
Yeah, right.
By the way, we're recording this on Friday afternoon.
Yeah, this is all anti-Bruce Reiner as being a traitor to Republican values.
There's one more I want to mention, but I do want to do a little sideline here. Trending on Twitter right now is Andrew Sullivan.
There's a reason why. Yeah.
Andrew Sullivan is writing about the Antifa hoodie bandana intersectionality people on the
left
being just as bad as the people. Where do you think these morons get this idea from? How the fuck does Andrew Sullivan have a job anywhere? Well, Andrew Sullivan sucked a lot of dick. And Andrew Sullivan hired a lot of people who sucked his dick. And now they all owe each other.
You mean that in a gay way. I mean that in a professional way. I want to be clear.
Andrew Sullivan.
Driftglass drops this in there every once in a while, folks. And I'm going to translate here because that was not a homophobic statement.
Let me be clear. Blowjobs are wonderful and a blessing from God. I don't mean that anyone who thinks that's an insult or insulting. He's talking about
professionalism and back. You mean rubbing backs?
Let's put it this way. There's a very large circle jerks of editors and writers who interchange with each other. David Frum used to be over here. Then he got over there. Then he got fired from over here. Then Andrew Sullivan hired him. Now he's an editor at The Atlantic.
Right. And they're all just protecting each other's careers. And Andrew Sullivan, you know, actually responded to you once about, you don't have to attack my career.
Dude, why are you coming after me personally?
Personally about my career. He used the word career to you.
And, exactly. And I responded how is that any different than you going after, I listed off a bunch of people that he went after in exactly the same way, right, I was going after him.
Right.
And he
said I want to quote what Jay Bowie says about on Twitter about Andrew Sullivan. Andrew Sullivan could personally witness ICE agents kidnapping and disappearing an immigrant and still think the real danger is 19-year-olds protesting his friends on the lecture circuit.
Yeah.
And that Andrew Sullivan in a nutshell. Yeah.
Because Andrew Sullivan is a bitter, privileged, white, yeah, gay, Tory, Catholic writer who lives in Washington, D.C.
He lives wherever he wants to live because he can afford it.
Yes. And lived in New York for 10 minutes and hated it.
Yep.
And now writes and wrote a horrible article about why New York sucks for New York Magazine, because, hey, why not?
I got paid for that. Yes.
And apparently the only place he ever goes are college campuses.
Yep.
To vacation on Martha's Vineyard or wherever he goes, you know, once a year to clear his mind, because he's a very troubled person. There's a lot of thoughts going around in his brain. And Ireland once in a while to visit. But that's it. That's all he is not really sure we had a civil war in this country. He's not quite sure it happened, or if it happened, it happened because of race. It's very iffy about that. And that's fine. You can be that insulated and be that stupid and be that clueless. And that's great. You're right. Why anyone puts this guy behind a keyboard and said, crank out 800 words on intersectionality and why Antifa screaming lefties on the campus are bad, and I will pay your fucking rent in Washington, D.C. for the next month. That's the part I don't get. Now, I know there's a reason for it, and I know it has to do with inbreeding among our elites in the bubble. But to date, no one has come out and drawn a map on a wall and said, oh, no, here's how it worked. This goes to this, goes to this, goes to this. He owes him a favor. He got him out of prison. He helped him bury a hooker. Here's the coke that they swapped. They both know each other's crimes. It's Ray Donovan. They all have shit on each other, and they all look after each other, because if they don't, it all falls apart. Got it. Now, back to Gene Ives. The most offensive one, from my point of view, was the trans person.
Yeah.
Guy in the wig and the low-cut dress.
With the furry chest. And
letting me use the girls' bathroom.
Which was not even in the bill that Rauner signed. This was not a bathroom bill.
No.
This had nothing to do with that. This had to do with birth certificates. The bill that Rauner signed in this regard. Your birth certificate in Illinois can reflect the gender that you are now rather than the gender that you were born with.
And none of this has anything to do with grown men.
Any bathroom. There was no bathroom in it.
Right.
There was nothing bathroom.
The terror. This is just a button they push.
Yeah,
you know
right,
what?
Right.
Liberals want to let grown men put on dresses and come into bathrooms and molest little girls.
Right. Right.
That's what they're saying.
That's the whole point.
It's part of the liberal agenda to do that to your kids, because
Amazing, because they've been saying that in one way or another for three decades.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
Gays are going to molest your kids. Transgenders are going to molest your kids. You know, any same-sex marriage, they'll molest the kids.
Right.
And
the
then
teachers,
you get
those
to,
teachers are going to molest your kids.
You know, have them in school, hire gay people in your school, they're going to molest your kids. Mm-hmm. And then a Republican runs...
And then Roy Moore shows up in Alabama.
Yeah.
But, oh, there's an actual time molester.
And they're
completely behind him.
Yeah,
and when the children that escaped his clutches grow up, they become the women that Republicans punch in the face.
Yep.
This is who they are. And that's the point. The whole point of me going down. And of course, the punchline of this ad is her waving around the National Review saying, they were right. The National Review's right. Bruce Rauner's the worst Republican governor who ever lived on God's earth. You know, because it's the National Review. The National Review, America's leading white supremacist journal, respectable white supremacist journal, is now a feature in this crazy bitch's ad. And here's the point. She knows Republicans.
Exactly.
You really don't need another safari. From another expedition from the New York Times or Washington Post out into the heartland to see what Republicans really think. Look at this woman's ad. That's what they think. This is who they are. It's not complicated. I know you want it to be complicated, and I know that you want it to be weird and strange and inexplicable and magical, and you find, but it isn't. They hate women. They hate minorities. They hate government. They hate anybody who doesn't look like them. They hate trans people. And they blame that group of people for everything that's wrong in their life. Yeah. And they will vote for anyone who says, you're right. And they'll hate anyone and drive them from office and scream at them and wave their AK-47s in the air against anyone who says they're not. And it's just that simple. And you really don't need to know a lot more. All you need to do is turn on AM conservative talk radio at any point in the last 30 fucking years and listen to it to know what these people think and how they believe and what the trajectory of the party is. That's why it's so hilarious to watch the Joe Scarboroughs and the Rick Wilsons and even the David Frums going, holy shit, the Republican Party's full of Republicans. Who could have known?
Right.
It is such a fucking scam. It is such a loud lifeboat building exercise every day on the news. These people's renewed indignity that their Republican Party is full of Republicans. Speaking of Republicans, we're back to the news roundup. And I'd like to point out that if your government shutdown lasts for more than 5 hours, you should really contact your physician.
I'm trying to figure out what Rand Paul was trying to distract us from.
I have a theory.
Yeah.
Theory is that if Rand Paul can just turn the government off and on, like flicking a light switch, and just make a mockery of government itself, Rand Paul wins. Because the whole idea of conservatism is all government is evil and must be destroyed and is inherently ridiculous and wasteful. And look, I can turn it off and on, off and on. I can fuck with it. I can shut it down. I can defund things. I can refund things. And you, good trailer trash people living in sisterfuck Arkansas, your life isn't affected, is it? Your lights didn't go out. No, you're fine. So the government is this big, wasteful shithole full of liberal scams that are stealing your money and giving it to brown people. So we can pretty much safely shut it down, as I have demonstrated. That's my theory. It's to make government look ridiculous so that when they gut it, when they finally roll the tanks, no one will be there to defend it because, well, what did government ever do for me?
All right. We're going to continue. FBI.
Yeah.
The FBI was monitoring former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page at a time when he spoke with Steve Bannon about Russia. Bannon was on the tape.
Oh, no. Yeah. As we mentioned earlier, dozens of White House employees still don't have permanent security clearance.
Jared.
Jared. For reasons that we will probably learn at some point once these criminals are all gone and the FBI leaks it in 5 years or 10 years. But it will turn out that they were all horrible criminal scumbags. Who couldn't pass a basic background clearance to be a postal clerk, much less a person in the White House.
Well, and they're violating federal law by lying on their security clearance forms anyway. But nothing matters because the constitutional safeguards that are set up against this kind of thing happening have failed.
Yes. Yes, they have. This is truly...
Because Republicans have put party before country. Well, not people in general, not both sides, Republicans.
This reminds me. It's a Selden crisis, a true Selden crisis, a real genuine crisis.
You need to say what book that is.
That's the Foundation Trilogy.
Foundation Trilogy by
Isaac Asimov.
By Isaac Abner. A Selden crisis is
a genuine crisis that was predicted and a moment when the culture changes. And Selden and a group of people set up this little colony at the right place at the right time to be there to not save the Galactic Empire from collapse, but to make the Dark Ages much shorter and much less painful. And at each turn of history, there's a crisis that everyone thinks was unpredictable. And, oh, my God, what are you going to do? But it turns out it was predicted. And the conditions of those people on that planet at that time are perfect to meet that crisis and actually grow from it. So we're actually in a real Selden crisis. And it does remind me, this really does remind me of another science fiction book, if I may.
As long as everybody can take a drink, sure.
Sure. Douglas Adams.
Yes.
The Bee Arc.
Uh-huh. Yep.
This is the Republican Party of the 60s realizing that, oh, my God, people are never going to vote our crazy stuff into – never going to enact our insane ideas. They're never going to do any of this shit. They're never going to shut down Social Security. They're never going to get rid of Medicare unless, you know, people in the Republican Party aren't stupid enough to do that. Nobody's stupid enough to do that. And they took that as a challenge. How can we make the average Republican stupid enough to do that? And it took 30 years and billions of dollars and a complete media and immersive media experience, TV. They had to buy everything. They had to buy radio and TV, and they had to buy churches. But they succeeded in literally lowering the collective IQ of the average Republican voter, of Republican-based voters, to the point where they will vote to blow their own brains out and blame liberals when they do it. They have succeeded. They took it as a challenge. Oh, okay. How best can we lobotomize 60 million people?
Whichever it is.
Yeah, brainwash 40, 50, 60 million people to the point where they won't stop brainwashing themselves. Mm-hmm. They will actually actively
turn it on. Turn on Fox News. Yeah.
And not like there'll be no wall around them, no gun to their head. Nobody's going to force them to do it, but make them voluntarily brainwash themselves every day and get dumber and angrier and more bigoted every day. And that's what they did. They created a self-sustaining engine that gets dumber and angrier and more hateful and bigoted every day. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've done. And now that thing is running downhill at 100 miles an hour. But that's really why we're here. We're here because this is where we were always going to be. I'll mention that the stock market continues to act like Ash and Alien. That's my own little joke. when he was the android who flipped out and started thrashing around every which way and spewing up goo and trying to kill Ripley. The stock market is just having some sort of attack.
It might be a correction, Drift Class. Yeah. You don't know. But we do know that I believe it was Forbes came out and said that the 41% corporations are going to spend 41% of their tax cut on buybacks for their stock market.
Well,
and they're going to spend 7% on wages and employee improvement. And when you go to manufacturers in the United States, it's 47% is going to be spent on stock buybacks, and something like 4%. I don't know if I have that right, but it was lower.
Yeah.
For employee improvement and employee wages. Yeah. So
this is why Eisenhower had a 94% top tax rate.
Yeah.
Because these people would be forced to actually reinvest their money in their factories, in their workers, in their communities. They could not stockpile enough wealth to become an aristocracy.
The way that you avoid a 94% tax rate is by reinvesting. Yep. And you can give it away through the government, or you can give it away by paying your employees and investing in your the infrastructure of your business.
And speaking of large amounts of money, apparently, I don't know if I haven't done the math on this just yet. I haven't taken my shoes and socks off to do all the numbers. But apparently the spending increases the Republicans just passed in their budget. Remember, the Republicans control the entire government now, are larger than the Obama stimulus, over which these same Republicans completely lost their shit.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are starting to talk like liberal bloggers from 10 years ago, Blue Gal.
Yeah, yeah.
They're starting to sound an awful lot like, I don't know, the Professional Left podcast, saying, you know what? Maybe Republicans don't care about deficits.
Maybe they don't. We knew this when Dick Cheney said so.
I know. Well, maybe it's because it was a black guy.
Maybe it was. Maybe the whole Tea Party was because it was a black guy.
Maybe, golly, you know, Blue Gal, that someone should really look into that. Anyway, would you care to proceed with our news roundup?
Scott Pruitt says climate change isn't necessarily a bad thing. It could help people down the road.
That's right.
And I want to, I hate to do this, but I actually want to agree with Donald Trump on one thing. I know this is hard to do.
No, I agree with him on two things. So you go ahead.
The one thing that I agree with him about, actually, there are two things also that I agree with Donald Trump about.
Uh-huh.
The messaging on climate change has been to terrify people on the left.
Yes.
And there's no reason we shouldn't be terrified. I get it that it's that bad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you terrify the general public, they tend to freeze. And the tendency is to back up against the wall and be defensive about it and say, well, we can't really do anything, and this is about jobs and so forth. And what is really happening in that conversation is, deep down inside, even the opponents are just terrified. But they are terrified not only of what's going to happen, but terrified of what it might require of them to reverse that. And so I know I've said this on the podcast before. Making the conversation about clean air, clean water, clean land, safe food.
Right. And your children's future.
Your children's future. But even there, you're getting into terror of threatening your children's future is a terrifying thing.
No.
Make it about clean air and dare people to argue with you against clean air. And you can fix the climate change issue. You can make people feel that they can do something. When you and I were born, Driftglass, Nobody recycled anything in their homes.
That's
you didn't
true.
Do any recycling at all. No one did. When I was 10 years old, no one did. It took the ecological movement changing people's attitudes about, you know, there being a big garbage pit that you could just throw things in and it would go away. And that was called the ocean.
Right.
And we know that's not true. So if you argue that clean air, clean water, safe food, clean land, don't, you know, we changed people's attitude toward littering. We changed people's attitudes. We can do that also with climate change. The problem is there's this huge amount of money invested in fossil fuels.
Right. Yes,
that
there is.
Will not let that conversation happen.
Right.
Solar and wind is for tomorrow.
Right.
You know, tomorrow we're going to have this great future with wind and solar,
mm-hmm.
not recognizing how much cheaper it is long-term and short-term to switch over as soon as possible.
Well, tomorrow we have wind and solar. Today we have parades.
See?
Yay!
Yeah.
Parades are... apparently, President Stupid would like a big military parade down Pennsylvania Avenue with tanks and missiles and who knows what. And it's to honor veterans, apparently, because we don't have any of those holidays
it's
currently.
It's not to honor veterans.
No, it's to honor Donald Trump.
Donald Trump,
It's a parade for Caesar, and to honor Caesar for all the good things Caesar has done for us.
And again, Donald Trump is right that his base would love it.
Sure they would. Of course they would.
It's a reality show spectacle to show them that their white man power, you know, their white king is in charge for them. So, yes, that's he's right on target with his base understanding what they will appreciate. Yeah.
His base is a minority. The majority of this people, majority of people in this country apparently believe that Russia, in fact, meddled with our elections, that they'll do it again, and that our federal government is not doing nearly enough to stop it.
Yep.
That's what most people believe.
I didn't say the other thing that I agree with Donald Trump about.
That.
I agree with him on international profit sharing and profit dividing up of pharmaceuticals. That it is not if we're, but that does require a mindset change in the United States.
Right.
That we are going to negotiate the price of pharmaceuticals in the United States, and yes, it should be based on other countries also taking responsibility for the profit margins of companies that sell those pills. Now, then I also feel we need to get into who develops these pills. They're often developed in universities and government-sponsored institutions. And the research that's being done on pharmaceuticals is what color purple should they be and how should we advertise it? You know, and I have a whole process thing of ban pharmaceutical advertising, negotiate with other countries as to the how the cost of developing and maintaining these pills and medicines and surgeries and treatments, how that cost should be covered fairly by different countries.
Yeah.
But he said something along those lines of other countries don't contribute to the profit margins on these pills, but their patients in those countries have access to those medicines.
Right.
He didn't say it that elegantly, but he said it.
Well, he also said that everyone's going to have awesome health care.
Awesome health care, and it's going to be so easy.
Yeah, he's a liar. He's a big, fat fucking liar.
He's a big, fat liar.
Yeah, it's all
twice a day, a busted clock is right.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with him that the media is broken. I have the opposite opinion about how it's broken, and I actually have evidence to support my position. And he has just his, you know, crazy birds in his head tell him crazy things. He has Fox News telling him what to think. But other than that, he's a dead loss. The entire Republican Party,
a dead loss,
complete dead loss,
Republican
cultural
Party,
dead loss. Write him off. Yep. Don't bother wasting your time or breath arguing with these people. You'll only make yourself angry. Speaking of that, Rob Porter's a wife beater.
Yeah, Rob Porter's a wife beater and was hidden in the White House for over a year.
Wasn't hidden.
It was hidden from us.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. But
that's what I mean.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Don McGahn, apparently the White House lawyer, you know, the mob lawyer that Donald Trump has in the White House, there knew about it 12, 13 months ago, or knew something was up. The FBI flagged it. There were all these warning signs, apparently, over the last year. Again, multiply this by dozens, because that's the number of people who were in the same position Porter was, which was the FBI says, holy shit, no way we're giving this person clearance. And and Donald Trump just waving him in because he likes wife beaters. He likes people who beat women. He really respects men who beat and abuse women. He likes that. That's his life. That's what he does. And he gets off on it. And he gets off on being powerful enough to sort of bless them and forgive them. And even today, even as we are having this podcast, he is making excuses and saying mm-hmm. that he's a good guy. And he denied it, you know. And I just seriously, in my fantasy land of it's controversial, you know, he said, she said, sitting on a talk show with a nameless host. Let's just not even name names. And I just keep punching him in the face and you keep denying it.
Yeah, you punch him in the face you deny it. And then I say, Driscoll's denied hitting you in the face.
Who's to say?
So sides have an argument here. I can't really make up my mind.
And I just do it again and again and again until Chuck Todd's teeth fell off. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say Chuck Todd? I meant to say a fictional.
He denied hitting you, Chuck Todd, in the face. He denied it.
I know him personally. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. He wouldn't.
Driscoll's a good guy. I can't say whether he hit you in the face or not.
Who can say? Really? Really? Who can say? That's the place we're at. And until. Not that level of violence, because I do not believe in that level of violence. I have violent rhetoric sometimes, and sometimes my words run a little ahead of me, but I'm a peaceful person. But until that level of professional discomfort mm-hmm. is visited on people like Chuck Todd, we're never going to have an actual rational, grown-up conversation about what's broken in this country. Never going to happen. Now, I take some comfort in that, because we're reaching the point where we just are sidestepping. You know what? I used to do the Sunday shows every Sunday. I really don't anymore. I do them sometimes, but it's such a fucking wasteland. It's such a fucking joke. And every time Chuck Todd opens his mouth to say both sides, he is gang-piled by dozens of people just like are rolling their eyes going, fuck, man, we see what you're doing. So the only remaining question is, why does Phil Griffin want this to happen on his network?
Because advertising revenue, let's face it. And that's as long as you can fill the slot with between advertisements with something, anything. Last Saturday, there was a Republican consultant on whose name is blocked out of my mind, but I did write a post about her at Crooks and Liars. Mm-hmm. And she literally said, well, look, you've got Papadopoulos, you've got Flynn, you don't have Trump yet, and then you've got the DNC with the same kind of issues.
Golly, isn't that crazy?
And Richard Louie, who is the host at that hour on a Saturday afternoon before the Super Bowl, says, okay, 1 minute yes or no answer. And she just changes the subject and asks this quick question. Why? Why did he do that? Was it to get more information from her? Mm-hmm. No, it was to fill the segment.
Right.
Because he has 45 seconds left. He has to fill before the commercial comes on.
Now, repeat that lie 25 for 25 years, billion times by people in suits who goddamn well know it's not true. Repeat it often enough, and what do you get? You get my crazy Uncle Liberty responding to every debunked thing I ever put out there with, well, you know, the Congressional Black Caucus is pretty bad, too. I think both sides are pretty bad. It's the automatic go-to defense.
It is the automatic go-to.
And the reason it exists and the reason it stays upright is because Chuck Todd and the scumbags like him who are occupying our airwaves, mm-hmm. who are sitting in the way, who are blocking our democracy or preventing our democracy from healing, want it that way. They mm-hmm. keep feeding poison to these assholes because that's how they get the people to buy their reverse mortgages and dick pills. Last, not quite last. Apparently, Donald Trump still wants to talk to Bob Mueller. Apparently, this is sort of a sign of his pathology, grandiosity. He believes he's completely innocent, and he believes his experience in New York as a real estate scumbag, lying under oath and paying huge fines, makes him. He's more than a match for Bob Mueller. Let me in the ring, man. I'm smart. I'm clever. I'll just mumble a lot and look at the floor and lie, and I'll get away with it because I'm Superman. And I really, really, really want that to happen. I really wanted to bypass his lawyers and step in the ring with Muhammad Ali at the peak of his career and just watch this son of a bitch go down in 4 seconds in the first round. Because it will be ugly. Ugly, ugly. Now, his lawyers won't ever let that happen. I can't believe his people would ever let that happen. But the idea that he really thinks that he's up for this match is hilarious. And finally, in the good news department, right across the river from us, the Democrats flipped a Missouri State House representative seat, a district that went for Trump in 2016.
Yep. So. Yep. And by the way, it was Eric Bollard who pointed out today that the generic House ballot is plus 36 for Democrats among women. And that was before the wife beating stuff.
Yeah, before the wife beating and the defending the wife beating.
And defending and hiding the wife beater and then deciding to say, you know, he was a good guy and I'm going to miss him.
And then pairing the quotes from Kelly about black women, a certain black woman being, you know, an empty barrel.
Empty barrel.
Lying about a black woman who was trying very hard to get something done for her constituents. Just dismissing her out of hand and never apologizing for it. And, of course, standing up for his wife-beating friend. This is who these people are. This is not the bug. This is the feature. This is who Republicans vote for because Republicans love people like this. Because Republicans are people like this.
Driftglass, the mainstream media is not paying any attention to how much of a reckoning there's going to be from women who are very motivated by this kind of behavior to do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
This is, and we've talked about this before, you know, where is the proxy war? Is the proxy war that women are now fighting back against Trump?
Yeah.
No, the proxy war is them defending wife beaters and hiding wife beaters in the White House and pretending that that's okay. You know, we're not just not going to say nothing because he's a good guy. Well, and look, he's a Rhodes Scholar.
And emails. But those emails,
yeah,
Blue Gal.
But those emails,
you know.
Well, and now let's get into this of talking about the budget and talking about the utter Republican hypocrisy on spending.
Oh, yeah.
When there was a black Democrat in the White House, it was austerity central.
Right. Day one.
And we can't spend because the deficit, we're terribly concerned about the debt. And now we're drunks in a whorehouse. Right. We just will empty our pockets and we're going to have tax cuts for billionaires to the tune of $1.5 trillion. And now a spending bill that gives a 10% increase to the Pentagon. And yes, Democrat. The fact that we have to say children's health insurance is a Democratic issue.
Yes, is appalling.
Appalling. It wasn't that way.
No.
It was even when Hillary Clinton was first lady, it wasn't that way, folks.
No.
Children's health insurance was something that Republicans didn't dare say wasn't a good idea. Making sure kids had their shots was a great idea. Well, we're going to be bipartisan about that.
Now the world in Republican land is reduced to what can I fuck, what can I steal, and who can I hold hostage to let me get away with it.
Why should I have to pay for someone else?
Right.
Yep.
That's who they are. That's who they are. That is literally, this is all they are. There's nothing more there. There's no secret good Republican Party hiding in the wings. There's no Whig revolution waiting around the corner, Mr. David Brooks. That's never going to happen. Again, that's your imagination. You were hired to put on this puppet show of reasonable Republicans as a cover for the scumbags who really are the Republican Party. And now you're about basically out there in the parking lot doing your puppet show for no audience. Because the mob is finally saying, oh, we don't need the clowns anymore. We can just embrace our inner Klansmen. We can just enjoy putting up child molesters and Nazis and wife beaters because fuck you. We run everything. We won.
And as long as they're white men and old and Republican and on our team, they're good enough.
And we noted, and this is moving on to the theme area, that one of the things that really bugged you this week and bugged me this week was that the Republican Party never apologized for how it treated Barack Obama for 8 years. Never whispered, never a word of it. Never like, Jesus, we're really sorry. You know, the whole Bertha thing, that was really kind of out of line. And death panels, we kind of made that shit up. That never, because never apologizing is what Republicans do.
Well, because they don't remember what they did last week. I mean, this is the memory hole is also the problem. I don't know which came first, but if you don't remember what you did yesterday or what you said yesterday, of course, you're not going to apologize for anything you did. And Barack Obama, how can they apologize to Barack Obama if Barack Obama, there was a text where Barack Obama wanted to know everything the FBI was doing.
Right.
And there's a text that proves that. Look, proof. And then you look at the date of the text, and it has nothing to do with the email investigation at all.
No.
It has to do with the Russians.
Yeah, I'm about
to. The Russians invading our election system.
I'm about to go toe-to-toe with the Russians. I need to know everything that's happened.
Everything, yes.
And
because this is an act of war. And I'm the president of the United States. I should be interested in that.
But even the repentant Republicans, even the apostates, even the ones who say, you know, have never turned around and said what we did to Barack Obama to advance in order to make sure that the scum of our party elected us to office in order to seize control of the government so we could steal Supreme Court seats and elect a racist madman. We trashed the shit out of a decent, honorable African-American man for 8 years. We kicked the shit out of him, and we liked every goddamn minute of it.
And he blocked everything he did. Yep.
Maybe we should be sorry about it. And the effect of that was, you know, David Brooks, you know, wringing his hands this week over how no legislation was passed in the past 15 years. Oh, there was Obamacare, maybe tax cuts. But, you know, well, why do you think that was? Was it because there was no lack of a need for that?
No. Wait a minute. Nancy Pelosi passed over 200 pieces of legislation in 2 years. Yes, she did.
I know she did.
2008 to 2010, she passed over 200 pieces of legislation.
The only thing David
Brooks
could remember.
Through that House of Representatives.
The only thing David Brooks could remember was Dodd-Frank, Obamacare, and tax cuts. That's it. There was nothing else for the past 15 years, which is a very odd number until you realize, oh, he just wants it to be both sides. It's both sides. It's, you know, it's not me. I'm David Brooks. I'm above reproach and I can never be fired. But somehow, for some reason, for the past 15 years, only these three things have managed to squeak through. And none of them were bipartisan. And
I bring up something else, too, Driftglass, that goes along with that same kind of memory erasure?
Absolutely.
The last debate between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, where Hillary Clinton expressed concern about the debt and concern about the deficit.
Right.
And said, I want to make it clear that every single program I am proposing that we take on and try these, we're going to try this new program where we hire people with autism. We're going to try this program where we have home health care for seniors. We're going to try these programs. She said, every single program that I have proposed, I have a pay for as part of the program. I have where the money's going to come from. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be clear. None of my proposals for programs that she had, you know, binders full of ideas, will add to the deficit.
Well, you know,
she wasn't saying that the deficit wouldn't grow, but she said, I'm not going to add to, this is not some Democratic crazy spending program.
Right.
I pay for everything I'm proposing. And Chuck Todd said she's overprepared.
Yeah, you know, this is the problem with this debate, Blue Gal. Hillary Clinton, she was overprepared.
She was overprepared.
That's what Chuck Todd had to say. And
when
Donald Trump's campaign manager came out, when it turned out he was a fucking racist.
Yeah.
And Hillary Clinton pointed out that the guy who's running this guy's campaign is a racist. Chuck Todd just threw up his hands and said, both sides doing this race thing.
Yeah.
Again, he's a piece of shit. No one knows why Chuck Todd has that. He sucks at everything. He's bad at interviewing. He's good at analysis. He's good at pointing at a board and reciting numbers, but he sucks at everything else. So, again, it's one of those great big mysteries that we're never going to figure out. Not generally why does this buffoon have this job, because it's pretty clear why he does. But specifically, why this guy in this seat? Couldn't they find a better carnival barker for the carnival?
I just want to take a moment and mourn the fact that Hillary Clinton isn't president.
I know. Me too.
All right. Because everything can turn into a rant against Chuck Todd.
I know. And I tell you what.
All right. We're going to move on. I'm sorry, folks.
I know. This is how I get angry and my wife gets sad.
Yep.
And we have an agreement that only one of us gets sad at a time.
Or loses it.
And my wife isn't losing it right now. My wife is genuinely, because she's a better person than I will ever be. is genuinely mourning the fact that this country,
all the people that she wanted to help,
yes,
have to wait, including Dreamers.
Yeah, including my stepson, your son.
Yep.
She wanted to help people like that, and she really, really wanted to, and she really had a plan to do it. And there were lots and lots of people she really, sincerely was focused on helping. And all we heard about was what a bitch she was, and her husband did. and her emails and the people who should have been protecting this country.
And from people on our side who should know better, saying things like Biden would have won.
Right.
And not taking into account at all the first woman nominated and what she was up against because of that. And the number of people who were white, female and male, white Midwesterners like us, who felt that they could take a mulligan in the voting booth and not vote for the bitch because, you know, somebody else will elect her and it won't be my responsibility.
Yeah.
And that's the voter's fault. Right.
I can vote for Jill Stein.
Or I can vote for Trump. I can vote for Donald Trump.
It's my way of wagging my
fingers. Taking it to the man. I can vote against my own unhappiness.
Right. And there'll be no consequences.
With whatever. And there won't be any consequences for me. That's the point. There won't be any consequences for me. And you know who didn't do that? Black women didn't do
that.
No,
they didn't. No.
So, and there is going to be such a reckoning in this country.
Well, and that's
and there should be a reckoning against the Chuck Todds and all of the men in media today for whom there were no consequences if Trump was elected. That just means better ratings.
Right. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter to them at all.
And there's going to be a reckoning because they are not paying attention to how angry I am right this minute.
No.
And what I will do to get it done, to kick these assholes out of office. And there are millions of me.
And you went to a fundraiser last night.
Yes, I did. Yeah,
we'll skip a little bit ahead, but yeah, no.
Yeah.
In our town last night, two events happened. I'm going to skip a little bit ahead and then come back to something.
Okay.
Last night, it was like the perfect pairing of events. Last night, Jeanine Pirro was here. You know, crazy ass, wandering the woods of Chappaqua.
She's here in Springfield.
Where's Hillary? Where's Hillary tour? Because she heard Hillary might have been in Springfield at some point or another. She was here in Springfield. She drove 170,000 miles an hour to get here because she's a notorious speeder and we believe a drunk, but we're not sure about that. So we wouldn't want to impute anything to her. We know that she's crazy, however. We know that she's a genuine, unhinged, crazy person who has her own show on Fox News. And she came to town because the Republicans here need
– Love her.
Love her.
Yeah.
And it was the 114th Lincoln dinner, I think, which is –
Republican Lincoln dinner.
Yeah, Republican
Lincoln
dinner.
Pretending Lincoln would be a Republican today.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. It was just insulting and mind-boggling on so many levels. But there were 900 Republicans at the Bank of Springfield Center, which is a big-ass convention center in downtown Springfield, to hear Jeanine Pirro and Bruce Rauner.
Yeah, together again.
And over the proceedings was the stink of Donald Trump because she kept praising Donald Trump.
Bruce Rauner. Endorsed him,
and
right? Raised
about,
money for him.
Ranted about deep state conspiracies.
Yeah,
you know, cooked
that's
up by
thing.
Hillary Clinton and James Comey and Robert Mueller, who should all be investigated and probably should be in prison because the FBI is corrupt and is crazy and they've all conspired to blah blah blah. And that's what Republicans were doing last night. Democrats.
That's not what we were doing last.
No,
night.
We were a little bar. We were a little bar with some friendly, happy people having beer and we didn't have beer, but we had crackers and grapes. With our future congresswoman.
That's right.
It was just wonderful. I mean,
Betsy
Dirksen Londrigan.
Well, you know, you can put her middle name or her maiden name in there or not. She is a Dirksen.
She's a Dirksen.
But she's the right kind of rich person. Boy, oh boy, that family, I'll tell you, they will walk a parking lot with a plastic bucket raising money for a public school.
They will. Well, they're just exactly what you want in.
They are exactly what you want a dynasty, a family dynasty to be in terms of just, you know, we'll put some jeans on, we'll walk around this parking lot and we'll ask people to donate to this public school down the street.
Right.
Where we're trying to make sure the kids have crayons and piano music and good light bulbs
and
there.
And we'll show up on Saturday morning in those jeans to help pick up clean the block.
Right,
And, you need that done? Let me call my friend.
Yep.
Who's probably a congressional aide or she's, the wife of one of our senator. This is a wonderful group of people who are deeply committed to doing good things. And yep. So we, you know, gave her a couple of bucks and went to her fundraiser and were delighted to meet them. And just, it was a wonderful time.
Well, that's the other thing. The fundraiser wasn't $10,000 a seat.
No.
It was $25.
$25. Come in.
Which we will do once this year, because
right.
that's, you know, I have medical bills to pay. So yeah. we will do. And this is for, you know, getting a Democrat to represent me in Congress.
Absolutely.
Is worth $25.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And we might do a fundraiser for her through the yeah. good offices of this podcast at some point.
At some point. Uh-huh. We may decide to do that. But one of the things she talked about was the vote to get rid of health insurance.
Right.
In the House that led to the beer blast in the Oval Office and the Rose Garden, mm-hmm. where Donald Trump says, "Hey, I'm the president," you know, ha ha ha. They had to give him a win, and she was in Washington when that happened,
mm-hmm.
and she said, "I sat on the step. I was literally on a bench in front of the Capitol and looking at this beautiful building and all that it has represented over time." And I know this is a speech and a story that she's told, but I believe her.
Yeah.
And she said, if God was trying to kick my ass to run for Congress,
yeah,
that did it. Because her son was in a coma. Her
right.
son got Lyme disease and had an accident. Or there was some health crisis where he was in a coma. And if it weren't for the protections of Obamacare, she'd be bankrupt.
Right.
As a Dirksen, she'd be bankrupt.
And here's the thing. The person she's running against was the chief whip for that
exactly.
vote.
Rodney, exactly.
Rodney Davis's only accomplishment in
Rodney
Congress.
Rodney fucking Davis. Let's be clear with what we want to call him.
Who doesn't hold town hall meetings, who pre-selects and screens his virtual town halls.
Who has blocked me from commenting on his Facebook
yeah.
page.
Well, and
he
pre-selects questions.
The questions.
That he'll take online because
yes.
he doesn't want to get in trouble. Who's
right.
a doofus? You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
20 years ago, he would have been harmless, but he is a member of an incredibly destructive machine, and that machine needs to be taken apart piece by piece, and he's one of those pieces. And he was one of the chief whips of taking our kids' health care away.
Yep.
And celebrating and having
yep.
a beer and cheering that on. And I will never fucking forgive that. That
nope.
is never going to be in my book okay.
Yep.
You know, I don't care how many decades pass between now and the day I die. That will never be okay, and I'm never giving that back. And I'm
right.
never giving them a pass. And I'm never saying, well, you know, maybe we should work together. But I do have a test, Blue Gal, if you don't mind.
No, go right ahead.
You know, there are all these suddenly repentant Republicans.
Yes, right.
Who are suddenly discovering again that their party's full of Republicans. And
yes.
they all have media jobs, and they're all wringing their hands. They all sound like bloggers from 2004. Today, believe it or not, Joe Scarborough was retweeting Charlie Pierce.
Oh, my God.
I was woozy. Like, what?
You mean Joe Scarborough, the guy who blocked me?
Yes.
Yeah.
The guy who used to talk about the Cheeto-smearing, underwear-wearing
yeah.
liberal bloggers.
Yeah, that guy.
Now writes like one. In his
yeah.
column in the Washington Post, which, of course, he shouldn't have because he's a scumbag. I've used that word a lot. I'll stop using it. But the point being, there's all these suddenly repentant Republicans who are suddenly discovering what liberals have been telling them for the last 25 years is actually true.
Mm-hmm.
Part of their entire lifeboat protocol is never admit that I was part of this. Never admit
yes.
that this has a pedigree to it.
Right.
So I have a, and yet I get a lot of pushback from people who email me and my comment section. I still have a comment section and so forth saying, come on, man, we got to work with David Frum. We got to work with Joe Scarborough. We might not like it.
They're
but
on our side now.
They're on
right.
our side.
Right.
You know, we can make a team. You know, even Churchill had nice things to say about Stalin. And my first thing is, hey, look, if Joe Scarborough wants to commit 20 million troops to the fight, great. Show me the fucking troops.
Yeah.
If he wants to give us the plans for the Death Star, do it. Thus far, all I've heard him say is, I want to keep my job, keep my salary, keep my wife, keep my privilege, keep the column I got, all of which I got by slandering the people I now want to work with.
Right.
I want to
right.
give up nothing of my privilege, not a single fucking penny of my wealth. And now I want to bitch about the guy my party elected because I made a party that was capable of electing an asshole like
and,
that.
And because I personally put him on the air on the phone.
Yes.
Dozens of times on my liberal television program,
right.
morning program, named after me.
So I want to pay no price for any of that. I want to be forgiven
right.
for it. I want to be maybe applauded for, you know, my edginess, my honesty, my coming to the front, you know, so forth. And And I get a lot of pushback from liberals who are nice people who are, I think, desperate for friends. I don't mean friends. I mean, you know, it's been so long since anybody said we weren't crazy. And even these people are not saying that. They're not saying that at all.
Right.
They're saying,
no, I get it. I get what you're saying.
They're saying we have discovered this new thing that nobody knew about before, which is the Republican Party is crazy. And all these people who've been saying it for 20 years are like, it's water in the desert.
Finally, someone on television is saying something I can agree with.
Right.
And so, you know,
let's work with Bill Christie.
I get it.
And here's my test. And it's a simple test. And I think it's fair. Imagine a table and there's 12 chairs around it. And each chair represents a privileged position in the public square, a place where you can reach millions of people. You and I can reach our 8, 9, 10,000 listeners, and we love every one of you, and it's great. But we can't reach 100,000 or 1 million or 10 million. These people can, and they do it every day. So my basic threshold for getting one of those seats is that you will not lie to your audience, and that doesn't seem to be too much to ask. And the first thing you have to admit to get a seat at the table is that the Republican Party has been fucked in the head for 25 years. You can't pretend this just started last fall or 2015 or whatever line in the sand. The minute you quit the party, suddenly the party went bad. No.
Yeah.
You have to admit that you were part of this. You owned this. You contributed to this. And if you continue to lie about the past, that's how we got in this place. The entire Republican Party, the minute George Bush was out of office, started lying about George Bush. I was never there. I never supported him. I'm a Tea Party member. Who are these liberals? Who are these Democrats? I care about deficits all of a sudden.
Right.
And the problem with letting Bill fucking Kristol into the perimeter is not that he's a clever tweeter, because he is. He's a clever tweeter. He's been doing it for a long time. The problem is, the minute this thing falls apart, you will find your pockets picked. You will find them regrouped and ready to run Jeb Bush or Marco Rubio, who will do exactly
to take away your kids' health insurance and your pension.
Absolutely.
Right.
Can't trust these fuckers. So what they have to admit is the Republican Party is a systemic, endemic, existential threat and has been for their entire adult life. Then, if we're feeling really honest, explain to me how you missed that. Explain to me how you didn't notice that. Because really, that was your one fucking job, was to be a spokesman for the party. Tell us what's going on in the Republican Party, David Brooks. Where's it headed? What's the trajectory? What's the program? Why should we trust George Bush? That was your whole job. And you completely fucking blew it. You missed everything. And there are a couple of Midwestern bloggers living in a cornfield who saw it. So explain to us how you, highly paid professional Republican, completely missed everything of importance that was going on in your party, and we weirdo liberals saw it and warned you all along. Then, once you cross those two thresholds, welcome to the table, pal. There's just a couple more things we want to touch on, and then we're
just a couple more things. Prayer breakfast. Donald Trump said a prayer at a breakfast.
He did.
And he invited Mark Burnett, who was the executive producer of the Apprentice, back in the glory days of The Apprentice. Donald Trump tweeted a welcome to the prayer breakfast to Mark Burnett on Twitter. I think that might have been a thank you for not releasing the N-word tapes invitation.
Darn nice. Mighty white of you, Mark. Mighty white of you.
And also, there were three times the number of Russians that were there last year at the prayer breakfast.
Russians love prayer, and they love pancakes. And where are you going to get
the prayers? And they love those pancakes. What was the other thing we wanted to talk about, Driftglass?
Footnotes,
yes, because as Stephen Colbert said, Devin Nunes should know something about footnotes because he's going to be a footnote in history. Devin Nunes didn't notice the font size of the footnote that basically erased his whole argument. In the memo.
Oops.
That the FBI was hiding. That there was some bias in some of the source material. And actually, in a footnote, it said, yeah, we know that some of these sources have some political connections, but we've also backed this up, and we know that the information they provided was accurate.
Whoops.
And so it wasn't what they said it was. And Nunez said, that was in a footnote. So, you know.
And one more thing. I'll let this hang there in the air. Last week was the week that David Brooks weighed in on abortion.
Yeah.
That was a week ago.
And, you know, you really don't have to say anything about that, Driftglass, because plenty of women, columnists, tweeters, people on television.
Oh, God, yeah.
Many, many people.
Yeah.
Many peoples.
Yeah.
Told David Brooks
exactly how much sand.
Exactly what a 20-week abortion was about.
Uh-huh.
And then hit him over the head with
The internet is still ringing from all the head banging.
All the hitting over the head, and, of course, David Brooks doesn't read any of that because it hurts his feelings.
He doesn't care about any of that. It doesn't affect him at all. It doesn't bother him at all. And
it hurts his feelings to read criticism of his work.
It hurts his beefy. So that's what he has an assistant for. David Brooks waited on an abortion in what should have been a career-ending move.
Yeah.
And it won't affect him at all. And so the question, as always, is how is that possible? What specific arrangement does he have with the people who write him checks that lets him do something this atrocious and ludicrous and dumb on the pages of their newspaper, and they're cool with it? That's a wonderful question. Again, if we had a free press that was really interested in finding out, but as I said in a tweet this morning, the media cannot fix itself. It just can't. It's the pot cannot contain itself. The media cannot fix itself. There's no incentive for it to actually do the analysis necessary to figure out what the rot is at the center that lets a monster like Trump rise up in the middle of everybody, and no one does a goddamn thing about it but the same old liberals who've been trying to stop this thing for 25 years.
And Driftglass, pour out one for little Luke Russert this week. Little Luke Russert has discovered that Republicans don't care at all about deficit reduction, and, you know, his substitute daddy, John Boehner, worked so hard.
It made him so sad.
To keep the true meaning of cutting spending and austerity for austerity's sake, to keep the deficit down, to reduce the debt, and work so hard and tirelessly for a principle that it turns out the Republican Party didn't even believe in.
I don't know if you know this little guy, but John Boehner was born over a tavern, and he's very sad about everything. And it turned out it was all bullshit. Yep. It was all bullshit. They never cared
for
a minute.
Bullshit.
And Luke Russert
bullshit.
Finally is getting hair in places where, you know, growing boys often get hair. And his voice is changing. And he's noticing that, oh, my God, everything.
Here's his tweet. He said, it's pretty remarkable that everything I covered on the Hill from 2011 to 2016 regarding spending and budgets was completely meaningless. Leadership has totally gutted the Boehner spending reforms. Never get tricked again. Hashtag GOP only cares about deficits, debt, and spending when a D is POTUS.
Wow, you know.
And then, you know, 4,500 people said what Casey Hewlett said to him.
Yeah.
People on the left have been screaming for years that Republicans don't really care about deficits, with a mountain of evidence to back them up. It was only a ruse to block everything Obama tried to do. The real question is why people in the media didn't listen.
That's a good question.
Luke Russert replied to that and said, think because of the energy and intensity of the Tea Party and how hardcore they were regarding spending, that it was more real this time. But you're right. It was all a lie.
A lie.
And then Joe Rossi replies.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to read this whole stream here, but it's pertinent.
Yeah.
I appreciate this, Luke, but know this: when a Democrat is president and GOP becomes spending debt scolds again, many of your colleagues report these sentiments as if they are genuine. I hope you'll hold these colleagues accountable. And I said, no, they won't. No.
Well, and what?
Luke Russert replied again. He's replying to people. Sure. Good for him for replying on Twitter. I appreciate Luke Russert. Yeah. I appreciate that you're actually reading other people's tweets, pushing back on you, and you're actually replying. That is something to applaud.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Flat out applaud. Yes. Thank you. He said, I'm out of journalism, but if I ever go back, rest assured, I'll never shut up about this. And that's when Blue Gal comes in.
Yeah.
Which is why they'll never let you back.
That's right. You know, they will catapult, they will Melissa Harris Perry your ass right out of that building the minute you start talking this way.
Absolutely.
And you will wonder, and as you hit the pavement, you will wonder, I thought Phil Griffin was my friend. I thought Andy Lack liked me. The last thing I remember was Joe Scarborough welcoming you to the building, and then there was a hand over my mouth, and then I ended up in a park. I don't know what happened. Yeah. Well, golly. You know, we know what happened. Welcome to Liberalville, Luke.
Wow, you're out in the outer. I said that. Welcome to the Burn the Lifeboats Caucus. It's way out in the desert where no microphones except those that you get donated to your podcast exist, right? Yeah. All right. Are you there?
What do we do each week, Luke Gal?
Each week we post to our Facebook page and website an internet kitty or other pet sent in by you, the listeners. And this week we have some internet dogs to share with you.
We are animal pet people. We are.
In this particular picture, we have Duke, Scotch, Milo, and Ruby.
Wow.
And I also want to say how much I appreciate multiple pets in multiple homes. These are the canine cousins of some former internet kitties.
Uh-huh.
And the internet kitties, being internet kitties, Duke, Scotch, Milo, and Ruby got jealous.
That'll happen.
And so we're going to have Duke, Scotch, Milo, and Ruby on our Facebook page and website as internet canines of the week. In this photo, they are watching MSNBC. Because that's what they should do, right? They're all sitting around doing what they should do, watching. But you know what we love to do when we're watching MSNBC? We like to compete for who can do the best Richard Painter impersonation. Because the whole thing is just disgusting.
This whole thing is just disgusting.
We have one listener that we call that son of a bitch,
uh-huh.
whose wife will leave him if he does one more minute of Richard Painter's voice.
Leave it to us, you son of a bitch.
Take that Richard Painter voice out of my house.
My God, this is so ridiculous. I can't even believe it.
I love Richard Painter. I don't know if he's always been this way. He worked for Bush, for God's sake.
Here's a guy who passes my test for being on
TV.
Yes,
he does.
He's a Republican who says, no, this is all fucked, and they were fucked before, and it's awful, and it's terrible, and we need to fix it, and I am here to help. And I want to roll my sleeves up and help any way I can.
Yep.
Terrific,
yep.
man.
Yep.
Welcome to the fight.
Yep.
We're happy to have you.
Yep.
And there are people. Yep. Bruce Bartlett is in that category. He's much less.
Yeah.
There are people like that. This is not awesome.
I actually think Jennifer Rubin is getting there.
Yeah.
When she said the only way you're going to fix this is to elect a Democratic Congress, she's getting there. She needs to apologize for the years 2010 to 2014.
Yeah.
Apology would be good. We'd like some apologies, but you know.
Apology accepted.
You get what you get.
Apology accepted, Captain Nito. Yeah.
You can send. That's not. You're really in a violent
mood.
I'm
not violent. I just love Star Wars so much.
Yeah. You know. Right. Gosh. I want to say to those of us who have survived various marriages where we were not treated as we deserve to be treated. I'm with you, and I appreciate all of the people that have come forward this week, all of the women that have come forward, and men too, in support of the wives who were
abused.
I don't want to be triggering. I'm trying not to be triggering here, but you know, wives whose face somehow met a vase. You know, oh, how'd that happen?
Yeah.
Lawrence read several comments on his show, and it's just been very moving, and it's time to support one another, and it's time to stop this crap from happening.
Yes.
And
amen to that.
Give everyone enough support that we believe you when you say that happened to you.
Yeah.
We get it. Okay. You can send your internet kitty to us at our email address, proleftpodcast@gmail.com, or you can write to both of us. Feel free to write us. We love hearing from you. Be aware that if you write us at any of our addresses, we reserve the right to read your email or U.S. Postal Service Go Postal Union's letter on the air unless you say otherwise. Don't forget our gourmet coffee guideline. If you can afford to buy an espresso-based beverage for yourself, buy one for us. This is not charity. This is our job. Approximately 1% of our listeners support this podcast with a contribution, and you can too. See our website, proleftpod.com, for details. We've got PayPal, we've got Patreon, we've got GoFundMe, we've got everything over there.
And we take
PO box that you can just mail a check to. We got a wonderful, actually, I'm going to put this picture up on our Facebook page, an $8 check and a little post-it note that said, "You guys are doing a great job," and a smiley face.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's all you got to do. Yeah. It's not complicated. You don't have to write a complicated Driftglassian letter to us about political philosophy. If you put, "Great job, guys," smiley face, and a check for $8 in an envelope and mail it to us, we are going to be so grateful to you.
Yeah.
And say, thank you. I took a picture of that because I thought that really indicates, I didn't give it, you know, I didn't photograph the whole check or anything like that, but just the picture of the note and so forth, and just say, look, that was a wonderful effort that somebody took the time to write us an $8 check for our anniversary, send us a little note that says, "Happy face, you're doing a great job. Made me feel good," supports our show, and you're done.
Yeah. Or you could write us a 20-page, both sides, single-spaced theory explaining
treatment.
Yeah.
For our HBO program, yeah, for our, right? Our
award. Well, no, we're on Crackle, honey.
You know, oh, that's again, right, Crackle.
No, HBO. You know, I don't work with HBO. That thing that we have where it happened, and we don't do that anymore. You know,
they won't let Drake Glass on, HBO, let me on HBO no more.
I'm just gonna say there was a thing. I mistook the throne for something else. Something bad happened. Many people were sad. It cost us a little money. And my name is on a wall somewhere at HBO headquarters. That's all I know.
Yeah, right. Good luck with that. Okay. Please share our show on Facebook or Twitter or any other social media that you have. And let us know, do we need to get a Snapchat page?
Yes.
for the podcast, or an Instagram page for the podcast? We need to know that kind of, we need that kind of advice in our lives, okay? Hey, Drift Glass, how are the Internet Kitties doing this week?
Well, Blue Gal, you know, the Internet Kitties are actually getting their own show on the USA Network. And it's going to be called Talking Pro Left, and it's going to be a post-show commentary show in which they comment on our new show, Talking Crooked, post-show commentary show on Crackle.
Crackle.
Let's think about living.
Think about loving.
Just think about loving.
Think about loving.
Just think about the hooping and the hopping and the popping and the loving, loving, loving. Let's forget about the whining and the crying, the shooting and the dying and the fellow with the switchblade knife. Let's think about living. Let's think about life.
The Professional Left Podcast is recorded under Creative Commons license. Copyright 2018. DGBG Productions Incorporated.